Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
Listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 103 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X at Blue and Blue Sky at Emerald Flow Show. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and all the other podcast apps. And you can even donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate if you're feeling particularly generous. And I'm Gerard, back with Paul. And Paul, we had to push our recording back a bit. We got a lot to talk to. But honestly, I think, unlike sometimes where I feel like, we haven't done it, we should have done an episode sooner. I feel like, actually, no, this was great because we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
And, yeah, but, a lot of stuff has happened.
I mean
yeah.
that in a positive way.
No, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, a lot has happened, a lot of things to talk about. Yeah. Also, you probably just listened to the newest version of our theme song as well, since we haven't done an episode since we had that one redone. Once again, thank you to Andrew, who lent us his services again to make the new theme. Yeah. So hope you like
Listen to the music of the mat on this very podcast.
Exactly.
So I hope you enjoy the theme, but we got a lot to talk into. So let's dive right in the news. This is a minor story, but I wonder if it will have some effects long term. But Evolution seems to be going for a shakeup a bit. Chi-Chi and Zones are going freelance, and the company is now being absorbed. It's still staying separate, but it's like being sort of taken on by 2AW's parent company, if I understand the story correctly.
Yeah, I mean,
Paul, do you understand that's what's going on?
Not really. I haven't looked too close into it. But I mean, like, I guess it makes sense, right? Like, it's not like they were, like, running a boatload of shows, I guess.
No, they ran, like, one Shinkiba a month.
Yeah.
And, like,
probably also at this point best for, like both Chi-Chi and Zones to, like, go somewhere else, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they're working in, like, Sendai and Oz Academy and everything like that regularly.
Yeah.
Type thing already. And I guess the big dog has actually formally joined Evolution, which is strange because I thought he was already part of it.
No, I mean, just like the faction, he was never an actual member of Evolution.
And he was never an actual member of the company until now.
Yes.
Even though he, was like a trainer and everything like that, which is so funny and everything like that, you know. Honestly, like, you know, they still have Chica and Soy there, which I feel like are two wrestlers that were like, oh yes, this fits into the sort of like trained by Shuji Ishikawa and Suwama deal type thing, especially. So, I bring this up because it's news, but it's Paul. Do you think Suwama is going to be back more in All Japan?
I guess. I mean, next question. Probably, yeah. I mean, he already was like, you know, like he won like the 6-man titles and everything. Yeah. So, it definitely seems like whatever, you know, was like going on 2 years ago has been like smoothed over. So, I would not be shocked. Yeah.
Yeah, he never really left.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, he never was gone, like the way like Omori was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I wouldn't like, I don't think he's going to be on the same schedule he was before, because I think
probably at his age,
he like probably prefers to have like a bit of an easier schedule and like also the mileage on his body as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Bring that up to see if Suwama pops up some more in All Japan, but then we move on to Big Japan real quick. They had a Korakuen show all the way a month ago on March 20th. And I would just like to say that the main event, So Daimonji versus Kenkuro Hoshino. Daimonji continues to go through the 50-year-old deathmatch guys, but this was much better than against Ryuji Ito, actually. It was actually kind of a decent little match because Hoshino, isn't as broken down as Ito, and he can, sort of carry his own in terms of, like, being a bruiser like Daimonji. So he won, but Daimonji retained to make his fifth defense in 21-28 with the Black Rain. I liked it, but I don't think you have to go run out of the way to go watch it. Unless you're a major Big Japan fan or some sort of Daimonji completist like I am, I guess. But it was solid enough. But that brings us back, because Paul, a Golden Week is coming up, although Big Japan no longer seems to be running Golden Week because their big Yokohama Budokan shows now on April 29th, when it's usually, 5-3, 5-4?
Yeah, I mean, that is a... Isn't this an extra long Golden Week this year?
Right. That I don't know.
Let me check a look how long it goes. That's technically actually 29th. Oh, no, wait, this is in... No, this is now, yeah. No, I mean, actually, yeah, no, Golden Week, like, it starts on April 29th. So it's actually the first day of Golden Week.
Okay. Yeah, because these shows are usually, like, on the first few days of May. But this definitely, I feel like a bit of a step up compared to last year.
That main event is going to be good. Like, now that also makes more sense why they uploaded the match they had in January for free as well on their YouTube. Mm. I'm talking about the main event, obviously.
Yes. So to go over the card here, we got Tatsuhiko Yoshino and Kaiji Tomato versus Yuichi Taniguchi and Willie. This one's Strong J Fuminori Abe versus Ryumi Sekimo. Yuya Aoki, Toshiya Kawarai and Joji Otani, post-caller. Versus Shona Takanishi, Andy Wu, and Chikorita Shoki. Barbed wire board and weapons bring the deathmatch. Ryuji Ito, Dale Patricks, and Rita Yamashita versus Kenkuro Hoshino, Masaya Takahashi, and Daiju Wakamatsu. Big Japan tag team title TLC deathmatch. Toru Segura and Kazumi Kakuta versus Yuko Miyamoto and Asami Kadaka. And frankly, of all of the death matches, I would circle this one.
Yeah, that one's going to be great.
Yeah. And then for the Big Japan Junior Heavyweight title, we got Kosuke Sato versus Satsuki Nagao, which could be a nice little match. That's Tachi Pro's own Satsuki Nagao. This one is strangely called Big Japan versus Outsiders. And it's Ryota Hama and Yasufumi Nakanoi versus Hideyoshi Kamatani and Daichi Hashimoto.
That's the name of the faction.
Oh, okay. Totally missed that.
I'm pretty sure the name of the let me just look it up real quick, but I'm pretty sure the name of the faction translates to Outsiders, basically.
Okay.
And I think that's why it says Outsiders there. But like, I think, yeah, Yosomono, what does that mean again? That translates to that translates to Outsider, basically. I think that's why that's all there. It's like, it's basically just Big Japan versus like the Daimonji faction.
Right. And then the Big Japan Deathmatch Heavyweight Title Salt and Mustard Deathmatch. another Big Japan versus Outsiders match, Abdullah Kobayashi versus Minoru Fujita, and woof is all I got to say about that. Oh, God.
Everyone's going to be rough. I mean, at least it's obviously it's a death match, but yeah. Yeah, these two are what, like how many years past their prime now?
So many.
About 10 years, yeah. More than 10 years.
And then the main event for the Big Japan World Strong Heavyweight title, another Big Japan versus Outsiders match, So Daimonji versus Kazumasa Yoshida. And we raved a bit about their last match. And Paul's pretty clear this is going to be the crowning of Yoshida.
Yeah, like it has to be, right? Because after the Kurikan match, I was like, Yoshida should have just won the title here. But I guess they were saving it for this show. Like, I mean, he has to win here. Like Daimonji has beaten, like they had to like resort to like him beating deathmatch guys because he had just completely run out of challengers. So,
and everyone else is leaving the company.
Exactly. So like it has to be Yoshida here.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. So that is the quick Big Japan update. And I don't know, it's listed as airing on Samurai TV. So I don't know if it's going to go up on Core instantly. So we may have to wait for the television broadcast.
Which is probably going to be like, I think like it's generally like a week, 1 or 2 weeks or later, two, right?
One or 2 weeks later. Yes. And then, so a very quick, great update. I did not watch the most recent show, but I did watch the great version 24 on April 8th. And well, I watched the main event of Ledet UWF title, Takanori Ito defeating Soma Watanabe in 7:30 with the TKO by TKO with the high kick. Soma, ever the geek, loses in his first defense, and Ito becomes the fifth champion. And this is actually pretty good. Just too short, but much better than Watanabe versus Nakajima. Some real intensity there in this, and some good, like, going all out. And I think it's a good sign. I like Ito a lot. And for whatever reason, Nakajima wouldn't put him over. But yet Nakajima would put over the biggest geek in the company. I don't
understand that. I was about to ask you, like, this is very obviously like a Shima to Koji Iwamoto to Akira Francesco situation here, right?
Yeah. But what's more baffling is that I feel like Ito still has more credibility than Soma Watanabe.
Yeah, I really don't get why like Nakajima was like, yeah, I'll drop it to Soma Watanabe, but not like, I guess maybe because, I don't know, because Soma is also former world champion.
Right.
But like, I guess he got fucking geeked out in a title. Like that title reign was an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, who knows? I don't know.
Great is what it is. It's funny. I feel like there was a brief great revival in late 2025, early 2026, but now more people are swearing it off again.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course, because A, they went, like, they dropped the paywall so people could watch it again. And they had that, like, miracle show in Shinjuku Face.
Yeah.
Which I will say, again, that was one of my favorite shows of the entire trip. That one was fucking amazing. I still don't know why that show was that good. Like, because everything since then has been okay to outright completely horrible. Like, they uploaded that, like, I don't know if you saw that. Like, I only tuned into it briefly. They, like, premiered, like, on, like, the 17th of April. So, like, last Friday, they had this, like, premiere of this show that they recorded, like, in their dojo with no fans. Like,
no,
it wasn't even a live stream. It was just, like, you know, like, a YouTube premiere. And, like, I don't know what that was supposed to be, but I was, like, I tuned in, like, because there's no fans, I was like, this is worse than, like, COVID-era wrestling. Because you don't even have a clap crowd. And I think I lasted, like, 5 minutes until I just, like, gave up and just put on something else.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking weird promotion. I don't get, like, I don't know. That's the problem, right? Like, in theory, there's potential there, but then it's just, like, I don't know. I wouldn't hate it as much if it just had no potential. That's the problem.
We had to stop for a minute for technical difficulties, but we're back. But I was just going to bring up on the most recent show on the 19th, Nakajima did a job in the main event in the G-Infinity tag title match when Ishida beat him, pinned him. It was Kaito Ishida and Kazuma Sakamoto defeated Katsuhiko Nakajima and Junji to retain the titles, right? And they're not afraid of pinning Junji, so.
Yeah, that I mean, he's very clearly on his way out. Like, he's very clearly, yeah. like I would not be shocked if that was his last match with the promotion. Like,
I'm slightly surprised that he had a few more shows since dropping the Ledet UWF title.
Yeah, I mean, might have been a case where he told them, and like maybe this was supposed to be his last show, and then he told them that he wasn't gonna, like, you know, drop it to Ito, so they had to like do the whole Watanabe thing to like crown Ito here, and then had to do like basically be like, okay, but that means you still owe us like a booking. But again, like, okay, you're fine with losing to Soma Watanabe and losing the tag title match instead of just dropping the title to Ito. But then again, it's Nakajima. Like, that man's brain works in very mysterious ways.
Yes, very mysterious ways.
Because if it worked in, like, not less mysterious ways, he would be, like, I don't know, main eventing Sumo Hall right now, or would be, like, a favorite to win the Champion Carnival, or, I don't know, would be, like, gearing up for, like, doing something in New Japan instead of doing a produce show and popping up in 01.
Well, his produce show is sold out.
I mean, hey, that's at least, like, you know, he needs something on his drawing records besides just some All Japan shows, popping a few All Japan houses.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird, man. I don't know. I, like, again, that's one of those cases where it's like, if he wasn't so fucking good at this, I would just be like, yeah, okay, he's just kind of a guy that washed out. But it's like, because he's literally one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, the
yeah,
whole situation that he maneuvered himself is just so intensely frustrating.
Because
he should be out there having bangers with, like, I don't know, Ozawa or like Yota Tsuji or like Yuma Anzai, and none of that is happening.
No.
And it's just, it sucks. Well,
we've talked about this a million times, but we'll probably continue to because we both love
yes. him. Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. We're going to follow him all the way down to hell. That's the problem, because we can't give him up. He's like crack.
Yes. And then, so as we transition to Noah, this is Noah related. Kuga, aka Owada-san, dropped the GWF title. But Paul, you haven't seen this match, though, have you?
No, so basically the show was on Sunday, and at the same time, a cinema here was showing Kill Bill, like the whole, like both movies back to back. So I did that. And by the time I got out of the cinema, that match was already over. I haven't gone back yet and watched it. But I mean, one thing I will say is I think that makes it pretty likely that his excursion is coming to an end relatively soon, because Ozawa's excursion also was pretty short. Like, Ozawa's excursion really only was from like January until like what, he was back like right after the N1, right? So yeah, that really only was like 9 months. And like, Kuga has been gone for like about that much as well, right? Like, his last match in Noah was, in August. So like August last year. So that would make sense. I think like, I would not be shocked if he like pops up, like on the, like not as in terms of like a match, but if he pops up, like after a match or makes like a big return, like on the Sumo Hall show.
Yes. I think that's what you circle it. So we'll go to Noah then. Legacy Rise on April 24th. No, sorry, not April 24th. April 8th. No, wait. Where did I put? Sorry. 12-8. I put it in the wrong order on the run. April 12th. At Nagoya Kinjo Fudo Arena in front of 1,280 fans. And much like All Japan, anytime Noah gets more than 1,000 fans outside of Tokyo, I consider that pretty solid for them these days.
Yeah. And I mean, especially because Nagoya is like, there aren't any good arenas in Nagoya at the moment.
They've also tanked in Nagoya recently.
That's the other thing. Like, not just recently, they've tanked in Nagoya like all the time. They've actually never been that good. They have a horrible drawing record in Nagoya, but you can't really ignore it. It's the third largest town in the country. But yeah, I mean, again, yeah, like drawing over 1,000 people is a success in Nagoya for Noah, really, regardless of the era.
Yes. So we start off with Hajime Ohara, Daiki Odoshima, and Midoriya Takahashi defeating Manabu Soya, Black Mensurae, and Yudo Koyanagi with a dead end from Odoshima on Mensurae in 7:55. And good opener, I thought. Just a solid little thing with some great guys. I love all the guys in this match in one way or another. Because I'm very high on the Noah Young guys, and I'll talk about them more in a bit.
I do. Just a second, Rod. Do you really love every single person in this match? There's one specifically that I'm looking at. That
yeah, maybe. Okay, sorry. I forgot about him. Okay, 5 out of 6, though.
But yeah, like 5 out of 6, yes.
Yeah, 5 out of 6.
I can agree on that.
Yes, I forgot about that. And then next up, Angel Reyes and Ryusei. Defeated Ada and Hiroto Tsuruya in 4:45 with the crab hold from Ryusei on Tsuruya. And probably best to keep this as long as it was. At the same time, these guys do kind of need reps, but God, they are. Well, Reyes and Ryusei, especially Reyes, are so green. Even more so than the Noah rookies, I feel.
Yeah, with Ryusei, like, that was always my, like, fear with him specifically. It's like, he was kind of, like, hyped up, but I was like, well, he hasn't really had, like, this, like, regular, like, dojo, like, training experience that, like, young guys in Japan generally get. Because, mm-hmm. because fucking Bushi and Naito don't own a dojo. Like, where the fuck, like, they probably have, like, some sort of, ability for him to train, but it's still not, like, the same, like, just regular reps getting drilled into you that you get when you're, like, in the Noah dojo or, like, in the New Japan dojo or the All Japan dojo. So, yeah, no, he desperately needs, like, again, Angel Reyes as well, but, like, I think Ryusei especially needs that, like, regular, like, drills, basically. Like, it's very noticeable that it's not as, he isn't as polished as other people coming out of, like, Japanese dojos.
Well, also, I mean, he gets something from being adjacent to the Naito aura, but he still also looks like a shindy guy.
Yeah. No, his look right now is not great.
Okay, I get it. You're with Naito. You want to look a little better. That you want to look a little more detailed and flamboyant than the average young boy. But you know, maybe just dial back a bit.
Yeah. Look, at least he's not dressed a maxing like somebody else.
Yeah, well, all we do is send each other DMs of like the latest, like
Jake Lee pictures. Yeah. I had to make that my avatar, right? That picture that you sent me. And it just freaked me out after like 4 days so much that I had to change it again because I couldn't bear looking at my own post because I had to see that fucking face all the time.
Paul, do you think those people in masks at Korakin in the clown mask were plants?
Ooh, that's a good conspiracy theory.
Because it's like just conveniently in the middle of a row. What?
Very visible.
Like 5 guys in a row wearing the Joker or the clown mask. The
exact same one too. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. You know what? I'll buy into that until I am proven wrong.
Now, at the same time, I could see Japanese fans doing that. But
that's the problem, yes.
But Jake would, because you don't really get plants very often in Japanese wrestling, right? But if anyone was going to use plants, it would be Jake Lee.
Yes, it would be actually. He's going to leverage. I will tell. Like, if you're a New Japan fan, look, trust me. This man will somehow leverage his way into winning that world title. He will. It will happen.
Look,
you're not going to like it, but it's going to happen.
A couple of freak injuries to like some of the other guys in that company and easily could be around Jake's waist.
Yeah, yeah, really. Like, it's like if Yota Tsuji's out and then like, I don't know, like Shota Umino's out, it already gets thin there at that point.
And I could see like them putting him over Goto in some like decision match for the title.
Oh God. Jake Lee G1 winner main eventing the Dome. Okay, if that happens, that has to be the upcoming Dome, not the Dome in 2 years, the one that I will probably be at. Oh no. Oh God, I'm fucked. Oh no. I'm gonna sit in a Jake Lee Dome main event, aren't I? Oh no.
And then after that beautiful image in my mind, we go to Null, Tadasuke, and Kai Fujimura defeating Atsushi Kotoge, Muhammad Yone, and Hiroki in 3:22 when Fujimori pinned Hiroki with the death hanger. And this was just a really quick match just to let you know that Team 2000X is as deadly as ever.
Yeah, nothing really. Like, it really is. Like, Team Noah is just, like, full-on just 100% jobbers now. Like,
yeah. Naomichi Marufuji, Kenno, and Amasuka defeated Tetsuya Endo, Hayata, and Katsumi Inahata in 6:43 with the Kaikoku from Amasuka on Inahata. Honestly, you could have given this a few more minutes. It was just, otherwise it was just whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then Masa Kitamiya and Takashi Sugera defeated Kaito Kiyomiya and Harutoki in 12:06 with the Stranglehold Gamma on Harutoki. It was fine, you know, Team 2000X tag match, the bruisers going after them and everything like that. But we've seen this a million times.
Yeah.
It's getting
also
really
afterwards. I mean, afterwards, Masa Kitamiya said that like all rebellion is disbanded.
Oh, right. Yes.
Which, I mean, it would have been the most like Kaito Kiyomiya cuck thing if he had just said, like, yes, Masa Kitamiya, you're right. My faction is now disbanded by you saying that.
Do you think they'll have a faction disbandment match or?
I don't know. Like, all rebellion was such a weird fart that I don't think they even deserve like a, you know, like a disbandment match. But like, I at least feel like they're going to go out on their own terms, at least, and not just Masa Kitamiya telling them that they're disbanded.
Yeah. Honestly, I think Kaito could probably benefit from hanging around in the tag title scene, teaming with Harutoki for a bit.
Yeah. I mean, actually,
the wrong word, but just something for him to do.
Yeah. Actually, on the show, there's actually one show that we forgot on here, but it's not really worth going over all that much. On that one, that was like a couple of days ago. There, like Harutoki and Kaito teamed with Daiki Urashima. Like, you wanna somehow breathe some life back into All Rebellion, even though you shouldn't, that probably would be the play.
Yeah.
Right, to add Daiki.
Just make another faction and to
just rename it exactly.
With the All Rebellion baggage, you know, that's probably your best bet.
Yeah.
And then we get to the business end of the card. GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title. Dragon Bane and Alejandro defeated Kid Lykos in Kid Lykos 2 in 12:39 with the Santa Maria from Bane on Lykos 2 to make their first defense of the GHC tag titles. I know people dunked on them for bringing in Lykos Jim, but I thought this was a pretty good match, you know, to bring these guys in, have them drop it. I liked it.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, Lykos Jim, like, most of the time are just not very good. But sometimes they just pull out like surprisingly great performances, right? Like when they were like in WXW's like tag team league, like recently, like they were like surprisingly great in that as well. So yeah, every once in a while, like Lykos Jim actually is quite good. It's just that most of the time they're just very, very sloppy.
Yeah. But, you put them in there and you get something out of it. I'm not against them coming back. I mean, another junior tag tournament or something, that's fine. And then in the semi-main event, in some ways, what was going to expect it to draw on this show for the GHC Tag Team Championship, Tetsuya Naito and Bushi defeated Ozawa and Jun Masaoka in 1903 with an inside cradle from Naito on Ozawa. And this is their third defense of the GHC tag team titles. Paul, this is probably the best Naito match of this Noah run up to this point.
Oh, of the Noah run. Yeah, no, I can definitely agree to. It's not the best Naito match I've seen this year. That's still the match with Aura. But yeah, no, this definitely, he was like, relying a lot more like character work, which works really well with like when he's up against somebody that also has a lot of charisma like Ozawa. Exactly. Yeah. Which I feel like that's what that match at like Sumo Hall is also going to be, right? Like it's going to be a lot of like character work. The wrestling, like it's going to be there. It's probably going to be, again, actually I think like similarly to the Ahura match, I think there's a really good chance that it is also a good match, but it kind of depends how much Ozawa is just going to be willing to just take like crazy bumps for Naito, essentially. Like it's going to be very reliant on like Ozawa doing most of the work and just kind of bumping. But if he's willing to do that, I think that match has actually has like potential, basically. Maybe not match of the year, but it, I think it could be good at least.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a chance for that to definitely happen. And then we'll talk about the Sumo Hall card in a second. And then in the main event, Yoshiki Inamura defeated Alpha Wolf in 22:53 with the discharge to make a sixth defense of the title. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there was obviously like very, very lazy, like Team 2000X interference, mm-hmm. but at the same time, there was some good stuff. I don't know. I'm just getting tired of this.
Yeah. I was like so happy that Inamura, yeah, I was happy Inamura had finally escaped the like Team 2000X vortex.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he just gets pulled right back into it. And it's just like the other Team 2000X defenses where it's like good stuff when they just wrestle normally and then you get bullshit interference. And I was like, the Kenno match showed us like what this can be if he is just allowed to just, you know, wrestle a match. And it's fucking great. But yeah.
Yeah. And then after the match, we got the big surprise. Paul, how shocked were you at this, of who it was?
So have you ever seen like the Christian return to WWE?
Is that the one where he started feuding with Randy Orton? Or?
But, no, remember like where they had like Todd Grisham on commentary? When it like, I think it was like he returned on like an ECW show or something, actually.
No, I don't remember. Maybe I don't
so
know.
So basically, it's this where like Todd Grisham, Christian comes out, and Todd Grisham, in like the most flat tone of voice, just says, "It's Christian." And that was basically my reaction to Shane Haste coming out, was like, "It's Shane Haste." And the crowd agreed with me because they went mild on that one.
Well, yeah, I mean.
It's been 10 years since he's been in Noah. Like, they had an entire turnover of the fan base since then.
And he joined White Raven Squad. Well, yeah. Which Otis sort of figured, but he came out with the shirt. No Mad Mikey Nichols insight, who honestly I feel like is still probably more, is headed more the pro wrestling game. I would have totally taken Mad Nichols over this.
I mean, the match that he had, like, he had his first match now, right? Like, weirdly, again, because he's challenging Inamura, his match wasn't even against Inamura. Mm-hmm. His match was against All Rebellion, like, the All Rebellion plus, like, Odashima team.
Yeah.
He looked fine. Like, he looked solid. Like, that's what I can say about that match.
Yeah. So let's preview, and then we'll discuss some things here. So tomorrow... they return to Korakuen. I'll be curious to see what this draws, Paul, because we got to go over this card here. Atsushi Kotoge, Muhammad Yone, Hajime Ohara, and Katsumi Inahata versus Manabu Soya, Ada, Super Crazy, and Daiki Odashima. That's a good enough opener. Wait, Super Crazy's back, though.
Yeah, he was already back on, like, the show.
Yeah. And then Tetsuya Endo, Hayata, and Yuto Koyanagi versus Kid Lykos 2, and Hiroto Tsuruya. That actually could be decent. Midori Takahashi versus Null. We got ourselves a good old squash match coming.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, if that goes more than 3 minutes, I would be shocked.
now we're cooking with gas here because we got Kaito Kiyomi and Haru Toki versus Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows.
What if they add, like, the Good Brothers to, like, All Rebellion?
Do you think the Good Brothers are going to return to type here, or are they going to continue to work slightly harder?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like given that they've had such a long time off, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, have you seen any? Because I haven't seen any. No. But have you seen any of the, like, fucking, what's it called again? The NWA tag tournament?
No. Well, I was going to talk about that later, but I have not.
So yeah, no,
I don't even know if any of it's been released for public consumption.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it a lot harder to watch it then.
Yeah. So and then so Namichi Marufuji and Kenno versus Masa Kidemi and Alpha Wolf. I want to say that would be good. But I don't.
I mean, on paper that should be good, but it's just the current versions of Masa and Alpha Wolf probably hinder that a bit.
Yeah. And then for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, a Dragon Bane and Alejandro versus a Tadasuke and Kai Fujimura. That's a quick turnaround on title defense. to a certain extent. Are they dropping them?
I think that would be a bad idea, but I kind of have the feeling that they will.
I could very well. I mean, I don't know. I'm 50-50 on this. Because it's just like, well, you kind of, Sam would just squeeze Tadasuke in there, but it would fit with some of the booking patterns of this company, to be completely honest with you. Yeah,
unfortunately, yes.
Especially to keep, because they probably want to keep the Alejandro versus Fujimura thing going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I really don't think, like, this is like, this has to rank up there. It's like one of the like worst brother versus brother feuds.
There's been a few bad ones.
It has, but like, I don't know. Like, I think it's, again, it's just purely down to Kai Fujimura being a terrible heel.
Yeah, for sure. And then main event for the big preview of Sumo Hall, Yoshiki and Amura Namaska versus Kenta and Shane Haste. And I'm sure they're going to try to work hard, but I want to see what Haste has got left in the tank at this point.
Yeah. Also, Kenta fresh off getting his nose broken by RVD.
Oh, right. Yes, I saw the
picture. Did you see that? Yeah, I actually watched that. I saw
the picture of the aftermath. I did not see it happen.
Oh, I watched that match live.
Oh.
The RVD was like actually unsafe to work levels of high. And he just punched Kenta in the face for real and just busted his nose open.
Oh,
like
God.
Literally like seconds into the match. Yeah.
Well, to get to do the like the face mask gimmick, the face protector gimmick.
That actually would be kind of cool.
Yeah. And then we'll talk about that preview. So then let's jump into Spring Mayhem in Ryogoku. 2026 on May 2nd in Ryogoku Kokugan. And so GHC heavyweight, junior heavyweight title, Amasuka versus Dragon Bane. That should be really good. That's the one guarantee on this show, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that one definitely should be great. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so we got a lot of LTJ versus Team 2000X All Out Battle. And so this is the first one. We've got Angel Reyes and Ryusei versus Alpha Wolf and Kai Fujimura. And then we have Bushi versus Jun Masaoka. And then, of course, in the third match of this series, we've got Tetsuya Naito versus Ozawa. And then, assuming the main event, we have for the GHC Heavyweight Championship, Yoshiki Nomura versus Shane Haste, which is so preposterous that this is the main event of the Sumo Hall show.
I mean, like, I think it's very obvious that Noah's like, Naito versus Ozawa is the drawing match here. We can just put on whatever the fuck we want.
Although, let's be completely honest here. It's probably wise that they are putting Naito on the semi-main event in case he shits the bed.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. No. Like, I get it from the perspective of like, you want to guarantee that like your main event is like at least tolerable. Because I think that is a lesson that Noah learned the really hard way with their like New Year show in 2024, where they did the opposite, where they put Kenno versus Soya in the semi-main and then had Ibushi versus Murder Fuji as the main. And again, as I will never not say when I'm talking about that, that match was so bad that I left because it made me sad. And then the match got worse after I left. And I feel like that is a lesson that Noah has learned now. It's like, no, we put like the match that we know is at least going to be okay, where there's really nobody in there that is like actively completely broken down. So it's going to be a solid match at least. And we put like the broken down, like former main eventer, like into like the semi-main, where like if shit goes bad, at least we have like a match afterwards so that the crowd isn't just like disgusted by the end of the show. Or we need to send Kaito and Jake Lee out there to cut a promo for 10 minutes to like Jake cover for like hour. Everything falling apart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is Noah. And I have to say, I am like completely unimpressed right now.
I feel like, because the thing is, I think to me, this leads like to like Ozawa winning back the title from Inamura, right? Because to me, this is kind of set up that like, I think LTJ wins the first two matches and then Ozawa wins the third match.
I mean, that's ideal. I mean, the thing is, they might want to stretch this out for a bit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could stretch this out to the N1, yeah.
So who's to say, right?
But does Naito really want... Like, that's the other question, is does Naito want this to be stretched out?
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Does Naito even want to work the N1?
Oh, God.
Right? Like, I don't think he probably wants to do, like, a full tournament. I mean, then again, he just did the 16 carat. But that was only two matches. That was only two matches. And, like he did, like, two singles matches on, like, back-to-back days, and then did a six-man on the third night. So... that's a lot less like impact on your body than like doing like a full like six match like round robin tournament singles matches basically.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. Like I think maybe like that's the other thing. Like we don't really know how long this like LTJ Noah like thing is even going on, because as far as I know, they're not under contract. So it could very well be that like right like Ozawa like gets his win back here. And then, like, they lose, like, the tag title soon after, and then they might be gone. Like, it could be that they're sticking around long-term, but, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're, like, gone, basically, by the middle of the summer.
No, not at all.
Like, I don't know where they're going after that, but, like, you know, like, it wouldn't surprise me.
Right. Yeah. So, we'll see. I mean, the results of that match will be a big tell, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I mean, if Naito wins, then, yeah, no, this is, like, a long-term thing. Absolutely.
So, now we move on to All Japan, but right before that, we got to talk about this Crockett Cup, because who knows when any of us are going to see it, so we'll just spoil it. Titans of Calamity won the 2026 Crockett Cup, by the way. I can't even find a bracket.
Yeah, no, I have no idea who even wrestled who for that. Like,
No, it doesn't have its own page. So the finals are the Country Gentlemen, AJ Kazana and Casey Kazana versus the Titans of Calamity. And I have no clue who these Kazana guys are.
Yeah, no idea.
Oh, they're cowboys. Okay.
Okay, sure. I mean, why not? I mean, apparently, like, if you have the Roku Sports channel, you can watch it.
I don't have a Roku, actually. And I don't feel like I'm going to buy
one. Okay, here's the thing. I also have a Roku, but the German Roku does not get the Roku Sports channel.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. And I went to the Roku website. You can only actually access the Roku channel from the browser in the United States.
Oh,
so
yeah. So we're both. So basically, we're both fucked. Then. And I'm not. I don't even know
how much of this even
VPNing. Has, yeah,
I don't think any of this is even aired yet.
Of the Crockett Cup.
Yeah.
No, I mean some of it has. Like it's like if I look at it, like there's like Crockett Cup first round matches on NWA Power.
Oh, are there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will look it up and see what happens and everything like that.
But I mean, that tells you something about the fucking, like, the state of the NWA, though. I feel like that's, like NWA has, like, officially reached a state where, like, nobody even, like, pirates it.
Yes. Paul, did you see the picture of the champions of the tournament?
I have not, actually.
It is Talos, like, emoting and Ren not.
Well, I mean, that is the general issue with Ren Ayabe, unfortunately.
Yeah. The Good Brothers were also in this tournament, I believe.
Yes.
But, you know, interesting. Paul, do you think this opens the door for... because this is the second time we've had some NWA All Japan collaboration, of course, famously, when EC3 came to Korakuen. But I guess
because here's the thing, like if there was going to be more of that, I feel like we would have seen somebody from the NWA besides Talos, like in the actual Champion Carnival.
Yeah. But
like, who the fuck do you even bring in from the NWA? I mean, then again, all Japan's like foreigner roster is always just like throw shit at the wall, basically.
Well, yeah, but that's NWA is perfect for. You know,
yeah. I mean, again, if we get another Talos, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, but so that's funny. Of all of the guys in All Japan, it's Ren Ayabe that ends up in the United States for a show.
it's also now like an official like Crockett Cup winner money, as well.
Somebody spent money to get that man a visa.
Yeah. And it was, again, before most likely
Miyahara or Yuma Anzai or, you know.
Again, just think about that if you ask somebody, like, it's like, Oh, yeah, no, because you know who most likely paid for that visa? It's probably the frontman of the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, at Billy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is so fucking weird. Yeah, no, it's like literally, yeah, out of all of the guys on that roster to bring in, it's like, yeah, you bring in Ren Ayabe.
So, like, that's, yeah. It is funny. Every time I think about it, I laugh.
Yeah. No, it does get funnier the more you think about it. It's like, yeah, no, literally this entire roster, and like, that's the guy you bring in. Like, that's like probably at the bottom of the roster, to be quite honest, in terms of like workers and everything.
So, to the champion card rule, it's had its first show on April 12th at Corcoran Hall in front of 1,194 fans, which is up a bit from last year, which is a good sign. And I don't have much to say about any of the non-tournament matches, except Tachibana and Dan Tamara feud has been going along nicely. And obviously that's going to be the junior title match coming up, probably Ota Ward at the end of the tournament.
Yeah. No, that one should be good.
Yeah. And then, so we started off this tournament with Rei Sato defeating Kumarashi 8-22 with the barbecue bomb. Paul, I think this started off very well by them just running into each other. And I felt like it lost a little bit of steam towards the end, but quite about as good as it could have been, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, good start for both men. I agree, probably could have cut like a couple of minutes off of this and it would have been better. Like if it's just kind of like the sprint of just two guys each other. Yeah, but I mean, in terms of like, you know, it's like a 5-minute sprint, right? Like, because then you don't really have that whole like running out of steam period. It's like basically you just have to like two both slap into each other and then you just go straight to the finish. But yeah, solid start to the tournament at least.
And then in the Champion Carnival Block B. Oh, we forgot to mention, because this was this before we recorded? Or after we recorded, but Talos pulled out?
You mean...
Cyrus.
I think that was after, actually. Yeah, that was after we recorded.
So Cyrus, well, I'm sure you've all heard about, most of you have heard about this already, but Cyrus sort of went incommunicado.
Yeah, we still don't really know what happened. Like, it's
no,
just that
he
hasn't
canceled his tickets, or something. So, yeah, I don't know. He's probably done. I hope he's okay.
Oh, yeah, no.
He's probably done. He's done with the company, which, you know, it is what it is, but it also sort of
peaked,
you know, have like when you found Talos, you got your monster.
Yeah.
Right. And everything. And I mean, even Odyssey to an extent sort of fills some of the role that Cyrus played.
Yeah, it really was kind of like, I don't know. I liked Cyrus, but it very much was like, that's the thing. Like, it's not like even he was really getting like bookings, like, he wasn't really getting bookings in the US either anymore. Like, it really felt like he was only still like around to like work All Japan, and that was it.
Yeah, for sure.
So his career is probably just over.
He could very well
All Japan. I think it's just his career is over.
Yeah. But his replacement was Yuma Aoyagi, which leads us to Daisuke Sakamoto defeats Yuma Aoyagi in 15-14 with the Big Bang Catastrophe, and this match was great. Yuma was all business, and this was a great match, and everyone loves Yuma again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's serious Yuma as well. Like, it's not like he dyed his hair, like, or undyed his hair, I suppose. Like,
just undyed his
hair color now. Yeah, it's just his natural hair color now. And he's just like, in a way, he has like reverted to being a young boy almost, like, in terms of his look.
Well, he still wears out to as before, but
yeah, but he comes out in like the like All Japan like suit, like the tracksuit jacket and everything. Just straightforward, no nonsense. I think it very much feels like he's like wants to like redeem himself, but it was very funny when we were all speculating who was gonna replace Cyrus that none of us thought about Yuma Aoyagi.
Well, I think because we figured he was going to be in punishment mode for a bit still.
Yeah. But it's still like, well, like, I don't know. They're probably going to put like a Hokuto in there instead, or like Ashino, who wants to take time off. And nobody, like, that's the thing. Nobody even suggested like Yuma Aoyagi.
Well, Ashino's still working his undercards.
Yeah. When is he going to take time off?
I thought he said he was taking time off, but I don't know. there's that. But that was a great start. And honestly, this man has like propelled the tournament to a higher level. Like,
oh, no. like he's a massive upgrade over Cyrus.
Yes, he's, to the point where
for all his faults, and one of those is like the reason why, like there's a reason why we kicked him out of the intro. If you haven't noticed,
oh damn, we might have to put him back in.
But like he is still a great worker. It's just that he had like I feel like maybe it will actually help him that he's like that this happened to him, and like maybe it's a bit of a humbling, and maybe he will like refocus on, you know, being a good wrestler instead of like doing dumb shit, basically.
Yes, for sure. I mean, is it being like hyperbole to say like he has turned the fortunes of this tournament around? Because he's not the only one having great matches, but he basically really helps Block B to lift it up, because that's the one that people were a little more skeptical of.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Yeah, where it's like, without him, like, I think, yeah, definitely, like, every single match that he's been in so far has been, like, one of the better matches of the tournament. So,
Originally, I wanted to say that he was the MVP of this tournament, but I can't because there's a couple of other contenders, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's that good, but yeah.
Let's just get it out of the way now, because I keep hinting at it, but, like, this tournament has exceeded everyone's expectations, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we haven't even gotten really to, like, again, because carnivals in, like, past years have been very, very, like, end of the tour, like, heavy. And, like, this definitely has gotten off to a much better start than, like,
well, carnivals they blew years. Their load on their three biggest matches in the first three shows. Yeah.
Yes.
but I will say that I am actually somewhat confident. I don't know, did you watch today's show, Paul?
I actually haven't had time yet to go.
So I did. And spoiler alert, I will just say that, I mean, it wasn't as good as the other shows, or at least the first and third shows, but it was good for what it was. Right. So I think they can get past the finish line without getting it too long in the tooth once you get into the middle and the end of the tournament before the blocks are over. So that's a good sign, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And then we go to Block A. Kengo Mishimo defeated Talos in 7:31 with the modified inside cradle. This is a lot of fun. I really liked how Mishimo worked to try to take Talos down, and it was a fun finish, real quick. So, you know, but it didn't overstay its welcome, I thought.
No, it definitely did not. That's the thing with Talos. It's like, after the Kento match, I feel a lot more like confident about his like singles ability, but it's still like you never know, right? Like it's not he's not a guy where you can be sure that it's going to be good, but this definitely, like, I mean, Kengo is like a veteran, right? Like, so he knows how to like work with a guy like that, and definitely did not overstay its welcome. And I think that's kind of what you need to do with all of the Talos matches, where it's just like can't be going 20 minutes with him.
Well, both of his tournament matches have been under 10 minutes so far. And then next we had Zion defeating Hideki Suzuki in 5:55 with the diving headbutt. I was pretty confident this is going to be the result. I cannot say this was a good match, but it was also better than their match last carnival.
I mean, that's not very hard, but like, yeah, at least Hideki Suzuki did not completely like sandbag this match like he did last year for some reason.
He did a top rope Frankensteiner in this match, but I thought he landed on his head.
Yeah, I mean, that's the right way to do a Frankenstein.
No, but it looked gnarly for Hideki.
I know, yeah. Which again, also is not really like his regular repertoire.
Yeah. So he was like seeing like, oh, look, I can try. And the next up, we had Block B, Ren Ayabe defeating Jun Seto in 2012 with the Death Roulette. I think that this ended well, but this was just way too long. And they could have had a good match that people would have been like, oh, I can't believe Ren Ayabe and Jun Seto had a match as good as it was if this was like 12 minutes. But they felt like they had to give him 20%.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that in the lead up to like the tag title match, right?
Yeah,
where it's like, oh yeah, you keep this a bit shorter, and like the match is much better. And no, they felt, I guess maybe because they felt this is the semi-main of the opening night, it has to go long.
Yeah,
but
And they still treat both of these guys with a certain, especially June, with a certain like, importance.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he is a former Triple Crown champion, and Ren Ayabe is a current like tag champion, but still, like, I don't know. I think 15 would have been long for this, and 20 yeah. definitely was just way, 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 way too long.
Again, I don't think it was horrible. It was just like
no
too long and boring, and you know,
yeah,
to the last couple of minutes. And then main event, Block A, Go Shiozaki defeated Yuma Anzai in 23:49 with the go on lariat. Paul, this was magical.
This was fucking great. Yeah.
I think this is going to be pretty good. I think that, you know, like, you know, first time meeting. So, you know, good, but not great. Maybe they'll have some more stuff later that will be even better. But God, I thought this rocked. This might be my back to the year so far. Well, I mean, apart from the Tanahashi retirement match, I suppose.
Yeah, I was about to say.
but just incredible. And I hope we get to do this again very soon.
Yeah, I mean, right. I definitely feel like if Go's, I mean, obviously Go's sticking around. He signed a contract and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I definitely think this is a match. Like, I have a feeling we're going to be sick of Go versus Yuma Anzai when they're done with it.
It's fine. That's fine by me. So that was a great start to the tournament. I think, like, because imagine the show without Sekimoto versus Aoyagi.
Yeah, that show actually looks a lot worse in that case. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Because then it's like, okay, we have Go versus Anzai, but then that, like, it basically carried the whole thing. Where it's like, okay, there's a bunch of other matches that were fine.
Yeah,
but then you had like that as a you had that as a really good match, and then you had a banger main event, and that definitely helped that it was Yuma there instead of like Cyrus.
And then fast forward 6 days to April 18th at Nagoya Kinjofudo Arena in front of 875 fans. This was one of those basketball arenas, so it looked cavernous. But look, I'm sure they made some money on the show because I'm sure Fukuda got them a deal on the rentals. And as has been said, these days there's a real lack of mid-sized, like 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people venues in Japan.
Yeah.
A lot
especially
of them.
Especially in Nagoya, but.
There's a lot of construction going on too, right? So.
And the problem is those newer buildings are going to be more expensive, most likely. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, again, if you're someone like Fukuda who has like contacts, then it's like, yeah. As you said, optics wise, this was fucking awful because you just had like Kento trying to do a showboating and it looked like there was nobody there. And, but again, yeah, they probably made some money because he probably got this for like a friend who gave it for him for like pennies on a dollar, basically.
Yeah. So we start with Block B. Rena Abe defeated Zion in 7:19 with a death roulette. I don't know. They kept it short.
Yeah. Could have been way worse.
Could have been way worse. Speaking of could have been way worse, Block B Odyssey defeated Ray Saito in 11:02. Could have been way worse.
Could have been way worse as well. I don't. Still yeah. wasn't really. I don't know. It was still not good. So.
And then Block B, Daisuke Sakamoto defeated Hideki Suzuki in 10:42 with the Big Bang Catastrophe. I think some people like this more than I did. I thought it was fine. I mean, some technical work, including Sakamoto showing some mat work. And then, you know, I just didn't think it had that second gear, but it was perfectly solid wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was great. I thought it was good. Again, I think it's just like a really nice, like, style clash, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they kept it simple. And I think it's a story that works where you have like, you know, the big muscly guy versus the technician. Like, it is quite literally like the most like basic wrestling story you can tell, but it's one that works. And I think it worked in this match.
And then the champion carnival, Yuma Aoyagi defeated Jun Saito in 14:26 with a referee stop with the end game. And I thought this was actually pretty solid. Aoyagi sort of working over what the neck and the arm there, trying to go with the end game a couple of times, and he finally got it via stoppage. So actually, and this is a perfect length, I think, for a June singles match. So I quite enjoyed it. June broke his vertebral bone in this match.
Yeah, it was quite literally the end game for Jun Saito yeah. in this tournament.
And they said, look, they obviously he forfeited the show the next day, but they didn't make an announcement that he had been fully, completely pulled out until a couple of days later, but he's gone for a bit. So as one Saito enters, another that leaves.
I mean, this probably kind of fucks their like booking for the tournament, right? Like, because
Cyrus
leaves
on today's show.
You just slot in like Yuma Aoyagi, and you can probably just give Yuma Aoyagi the exact same amount of wins that you were gonna give Cyrus. So you don't have to change your booking at all because Cyrus wasn't gonna make the finals. So
but
it doesn't really matter.
Get a couple upsets.
Exactly, and you can just give those to Yuma, and it's fine. Like, it doesn't really matter. Whereas, but like June, like, was pretty likely going to make the finals. Like, if the final,
I think she was.
The final was like Go versus June. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that's completely out the window, and you basically need to like rebook like the entirety of Block B now.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that because that showed up on today's show. And then semi-main event, Madoka Kakuta defeated Ryuki Hana in 17:51, the Rolling Lariat. And I don't know what it was, but I felt like these guys I thought was expecting to gel together very well didn't. And it's kind of
boring until the end. I have a very simple explanation for you why this match wasn't as good as it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Madoka Kakuta was strat like shit. That's the reason, because he literally came back from like the US like the day before.
Oh, right, right. Okay.
Yeah. And as someone that has done that trip to Japan and doesn't have to wrestle, that's already bad enough. I can't even imagine like doing that fucking long ass fly to Japan and then also having to wrestle in like a half empty arena in Nagoya while like your body is screaming at you to go to bed. So yeah, I kind of went like, once I realized that, I was like, yeah, okay, this match is probably like gonna be not exactly as good as I would expect it to be, because one guy is literally like trying not to fall asleep.
Yeah. So yeah, that was disappointing. And then main event, Go Shiozaki defeated Kento Miyahara in 25:46 with the Go On Lariat. Paul, I don't know, I felt like this is kind of similar to their last Triple Crown match with a different result. It's like, this didn't quite get to what I thought it was going to be, but I can't call it bad at all. It was pretty good, but it just, I don't know, I just expected more. And I'm just going to say that it reminded me of their first match, or from the one from late last year anyway.
Yeah, what I mean, might it just be that like Go and Kento don't really, you know, sometimes great workers just don't have great chemistry, right?
Sure.
And this is what this feels like, kind of in a way, where it's like, it's obviously a good match because they're both too good of workers to have a bad match. But it just, I don't know, there's just like, I watched this and I watched like Kento, like, right, I watched Kento versus Anzai, I watched Kento versus, or Anzai versus Go, and those are like great matches. And then I watched this and it's like, just not this, like, it's just less than the sum of its parts, basically.
Yes. And as a result, I'm a little lower. Like, I think people that were coming in and giving the carnival a chance liked this show more than I did. I don't know about you, Paul, but I thought this was one of the weaker nights.
Yeah, I mean, the arena really didn't help. I think just, like, cavernous nature of the arena that they were in, and just, like, you know, the splattering of people, like, on the bleachers. Again, it's one of those cases where, like, Japan refusing to, like, move people around to like improve optics really kind of hurt it, because you just had like if you had just moved everybody to the floor, probably would have like, then you would have had empty bleachers, but then at least you would have had like a more full like floor than you had.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have just like, kept the camera tightly focused on the floor and you wouldn't have really noticed that the bleachers are empty. But like the way they shot it, the atmosphere really hurt the show for me. That's the thing. Like, I don't think it was a bad show, but it's like, yeah, that whole like look was just pretty damn awful.
Yeah. Not a bad show, but I just don't think it's as good as one, and spoiler alert, three shows 1 and 3 in this tournament. But you know, people that I think maybe a little less into All Japan maybe liked it more. I don't know. So then we move on to Umeda Sky Building Stella Hall in front of 765 fans in that super no vacancy full house. This is a much smaller venue and a great, much better atmosphere.
Yes.
Let me tell you on this one. Champion Carnival Block A Odyssey defeated Kumarashi 9:18 with a diving body press from the second rope. And Paul, this was the best Odyssey match so far.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I mean, because again, you just had like, you know, two guys like slapping into each other. Yeah. And if you have a guy as limited as Odyssey, like that's still something he can do, is just, you know, shoulder check. Because by God, if you can't even do shoulder checks, like what are you doing in a ring? But no, he did clear that, like, again, the hurdle is on the floor, but he did manage to clear it.
Yeah, for sure. And look, Kumurashi is good in these little power sprints. Don't ask him to go 20 minutes. And then Block B, Ryuki Honda defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 14:38 with the final vent. And let me tell you, this is another Yuma banger.
Yep. I mean, Honda as well. Like, Honda, I think, like, yep. Like, disappointing match for Kikuta's side. I think Honda has had a good tournament too.
Yes. But no fun Aoyagi continues it's great to have him back.
That's the problem. It's like it kind of hurt to like shit on him so much over like the last year. But man, when he's on, he's fucking on. He's so good.
And then another Block B match. Hideki Suzuki defeated Renai Abe in 13:32 with the European clutch. I actually quite enjoyed this. And I thought Hideki was a glorious bastard in this match. And he actually got Ren to show a little bit of fire when he was just slapping him around and everything like that. And nice little finish catching him in the European clutch. So I quite enjoyed this match. And Hideki has been having a good tournament. He's been working hard. Whether or not those results always pan out, not always, but he's working harder than I feel like he was last year.
I mean, again, I think, again, this might be one of those things where it's like, well, his buddy Yuma is out of power, so he has to, like, put an effort again to, like, retain a spot on the roster.
Yes. So then also on the show, because it was in Osaka, Bodyguard was in a multi-man tag. Got to recognize that. And because Jun Saito was injured, Madoka Kakuta defeated Shotokan Fuji in 8:10 with the Rolling Lariat, but I did not watch that match, actually.
I watched it. It was fine.
Yeah. And then Block A, Talos defeated Goshi Ozaki in 7:42 with the Ride the Lightning Daddy. I had a lot of fun with this. It was short. And I couldn't call it even as technically good as maybe even the Kengo Mashimo match. But I've got to say, Ghost sold and bumped around quite a bit for Talos, I thought.
I mean, I think that's really the thing that we've learned of, like, this run of, like, Go in All Japan, right? Like, he's really good at, like, selling his ass off for big man.
Yeah, or being an absolute maniac.
Yeah, that too. Like, Go really feels unleashed right now.
Yeah, it is, yes. Go is cooking.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised that Go was upset. It keeps Talos, like, credible that he could beat the top guys, but you sort of had to stop this Go momentum.
Yeah.
Champion Carnival, Block A, Kento Miyahara versus Yuma Aoyagi went to a 30-minute draw. Probably knew they were going to go to a 30-minute draw because there was a lot of mat work for a Kento Miyahara match early on in this, and they were doing submission holds, right? Didn't Kento bust out a crab hole at one point?
I was like, this is weird. There's something up here.
But that doesn't mean, now this was not as good as their match on December 31st, but this was still awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen people basically be like that this is better than the match.
No.
It's not. It's not even close. Like, it was a good match, but like,
and it's nice, like, that match was that.
Yeah, December 31 was a fucking amazing match.
Yeah. And they timed it well because, you know, he had him up in the straitjacket when the bell rang, right? You know?
Yeah.
Good finish and everything like that. And honestly, I didn't really think about the time limit draw, but this was, like, I felt like the perfect booking for this, right? Keep their rivalry alive, right? Because, like, you have Anzai feuding now with, like, Kento and Go trying to put down these old guys. Well, Kendall's not that old, but he is the ace, right?
Yeah.
And he has to overcome both of them.
No, like, I think it would have been a mistake to, like, have Anzai get a win here. Like, I think it's one of those situations. Exactly. Like, it's one of those situations where you don't want either of them to win right now. So to just do, like, a time limit draw. Like, that's, like, one of the rare times where doing a time limit draw is actually, like, the acceptable booking decision. Because normally, like, 9 times out of 10, I'm like, nah, fuck it. Fuck draws. Like, just be brave and just make a decisive, like, call. But this is one of those times where it does make sense that you go to a draw to like, because you want to keep the feud alive, but it doesn't really make sense for either of them to win right now.
Yeah. So so I would go that this was the second best show. I still think the first night was better.
Yeah. Oh, no. This definitely was better than night two. Yeah. And again, atmosphere helped a lot.
Sure. Speaking of atmosphere, I thought also the Shinjuku Face had a good atmosphere from today. I'll go through it real quick. 520 fans, so super no vacancy, full house. Good crowd. So obviously Daisuke Sakamoto goes up to 6 points by forfeit. And then so you got Daisuke Sakamoto defeating Shoto Kafuji with a lariat in 447 as your sort of makeup match, which was fun of him just roughing up a young boy. So Taro Ishino, Kuma Arashi, Musashi, and Yuya Aoki defeated Yuma Aoyagi, Atsuki Aoyagi, Rising Hayato, and Ryo Inoue in 6-12 with the Kesegiri chop from Aoki on Inoue. And I bring this up only because, Paul, they brought Aoki in and have him get a win. Could that be the beginning of something?
I mean, hopefully. Yuya was left like Big Japan, I was like, it makes perfect sense for him to come to like All Japan, and it's like a really like logical like next stop for him.
Yes.
So I was actually a little disappointed that he wasn't in the carnival.
Yeah.
But well, if he comes in anyway.
He's in the Fire Fest.
I'm pretty sure he is. Yeah.
And look, honestly, I think that 0-1 and All Japan would benefit from working with each other, but there's there's wrestlers at each company that would make that very awkward. Not only Nakajima, but also Go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. Forgot about it. It's literally Axis is stopping the relationship from happening.
Yes. So we start the turn with Block B. Madoka Kakuta versus Zion went to a double countout in 10:05. Paul, this is what we talk about, how he rebooked Block B.
Oh, so you don't, Kikuta doesn't get a win here, which he probably would have gotten otherwise.
Yeah. It was fine. Like, I can't, you know, I would say that Kikuta got more than most out of Zion. You know, I don't want to oversell this, believe me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't bad for what it was.
I mean, Kikuta is a bruiser, right? Like, and Zion is as well. So I can see that working.
And then Hideki Suzuki defeated Ryuki Hana in 13:49 by referee stop with a sleeper hold. And I thought, it was a little slow to begin, but it started cooking. And then a great finish with Hideki, like, just kicking Hana in the head a couple times, applying the sleeper, Hana getting to the ropes, and then Hideki kicking Hana in the head a couple more times, and then applying the sleeper for the referee stop. So I thought this turned into something pretty good by the end, actually. And so, like you said, Hana actually has been having a good tournament beyond the Talos thing. I would agree. And then we move on to Yuma Anzai defeated Kengo Mashimo in 18:13 with the gimlet. Paul, again, a little slow to start, but once it's got going, Paul, I can't believe me, this is one of the best leg-selling performances I have seen in ages from Yuma Anzai.
Really?
Because, yes. Kengo Mashimo worked over his leg. He put him in a figure four. There was a great spot where, like, I thought this match was going to be over because he had him in a figure four and he had really gone after the leg. And there was an awesome spot because he was okay. So Mashimo was working the left leg, which is your classic psyche work generally. Unless you really tell a specific story because of an injury or something. But he does the jumping knee with his right knee. So Anzai does a jumping knee. And he just collapses, like his leg, he puts his left leg down first to land, and his left leg just collapses and he like withers in pain. It was just an incredible leg selling performance. Now, he does finish him with the gimlet, and he sort of sells like how hard the gimlet was to go up and everything. Now, you could debate whether he should have been able to even get him up for the gimlet, but I just thought that Anzai's performance in this was incredible. Just the selling.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can
closing
see that,
stretch. Yeah. Took a few minutes to get going, but it was actually really good, I thought. And then another match I had circled because I was like, Rei Saito defeated Go Shiozaki in 12:31 with the Eisbein. And this was what I wanted it to be, Paul, because they just chopped the shit out of each other. And Rei even took off the t-shirt.
Ooh.
He
When was the last time he's done that?
It's been a while.
Done that? Yeah.
And they just chopped, and then Ray got him. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I can't call it great, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was basically what I wanted from this match.
Okay, fine. But they did no fake knockout spot or anything like that?
No.
But also interesting now that Go has lost matches to both Saitos.
Yeah.
In singles matches, yeah.
Well, that's good because if he wins a Triple Crown, you need challengers.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is Ray was a question mark, and I think he's carried himself relatively well. They've been keeping his matches short and everything.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely further along on the body starts to break down thing.
Yeah.
Then it's so
a little what's it gonna, gonna be like? But no, it's been fine, I think. Fine, right?
Okay. Fine enough.
Does what he, everything. And then the main event, Kento Miyahara defeated Odyssey in 10:04 with the horizontal cradle, Paul, because Odyssey was about to do a splash in the corner, but Kento jumped out of the way and Odyssey landed in the corner chest first, and then Kento just rolled him up. Paul, you know those matches. You remember the Kento versus Abdullah Kobayashi match?
Yes. Yeah.
Or the Kento versus Taru match?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, think of it
basically that.
Yeah. It was like good, 3.25 stars or something, where he actually managed to get something out of Odyssey, right?
I mean, that is always the thing with Kento. It's Kento has a really, really high floor, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Even against far more limited opponents.
Yeah. I feel like Kento could get a 3-star match out of me.
Could Kento get a, I'm trying to think, who would be a good question to ask? Could Kento get a 3-star match out of Killer Cross?
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Yeah, he definitely could.
Because he'd do a lot of selling for Cross, probably.
Exactly. It's basically just him, bumping his ass off for Cross and then just, getting him into the straitjacket and just pinning him.
Mm-hmm. So I would say, Paul, for what I expected out of the show, it delivered. I thought that Mishimo and Anzai was great and everything else was solid enough, right? And this was the kind of show where you're like, it could go either way. So I think this augurs well for as the tournament goes on.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it was a good show, at least. I'll definitely have, I will obviously check it
out. Not as good as Nights 1 and 3. But, solid. So, we go over the standings, and Block A is Go Shiozaki with 4, Odyssey 4, Ray Saito 4, Kengo Mishimo 2, Talos 2, Kento Miyahara 3, Yuma Anzai 3, and Kumo Rashi still with the big fat 0. And then in Block B, I believe this is without the forfeits applied for everyone, just those that have faced them or were supposed to face them so far. Arena Abe 4, Daisuke Sekimoto. Oh, they have Daisuke Sekimoto 6, Madoka Kakuta 4, Ranabe 4, because they're all going to get to 6, except for Sekimoto. Yeah. Zion 2, Yuma Aoyagi 2, Ryuki Honda 2, Hideki Suzuki 4. So they're all sort of considered tied for, so basically you've got Ranabe, Daisuke Sekimoto, and Madoka Kakuta all tied, and then Zion, Yuma Aoyagi, Ryuki Honda, and Hideki Suzuki all tied. Is how Block B looks right now. And Paul, I made a mistake, but I swear to God, this was not on the All Japan website. Do you know there's semis and finals of this year again in the carnival?
I think they are. I kind of.
Yeah, there are. There are.
Thing that, yeah,
I
yeah,
confirmed
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
They now have it on the website.
Okay, yeah.
So that sort of changes some of my calculus. So Paul, who do you think Block A now is going to the semis?
I mean, Go obviously is, right? I think that's obvious. Yeah. And then well, I think...
Yuma or Anzai or Kento?
Anzai or Kento, or I think there's an outside chance for Ray Saito.
Sure.
But yeah, I think Go is a lock. I think Go is a lock to go through. And then it's basically, I would say, Kento, then Anzai, then Ray is the order of likelihood I would give.
I'm leaning towards Kento... just because you can put on the thing, Kento's in the semis at Ota Ward.
Yeah, yeah. And also, if that happens, I can tell you exactly how that match will go down because all of these, Kento Miyahara semi-final like matches are the exact, like, people talk about the Kento formula, but there is like an exact spot by spot, like 5 minute semi-final match formula that Kento does every single time.
So Paul, then who's in block B now? Cause I had always assumed that it was going to be June to the finals.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about this, and Paul, I don't know if they're going to do this, but they should just pull the trigger on Yuma, and I'd say send Yuma and Kakuta to the semis.
I could also see them send, like Kakuta, definitely, but I could also see them send Honda or Hideki, actually.
Sure. Or even Dice Sakamoto. Or is that too
Sakamoto, players, yeah. I think that's also a possibility.
So I think
I think Kakuta is a lock, though, right? Like, I think Kakuta is a lock.
Yeah. I mean, he is the dream gate. And I know that,
yeah,
you know, they're not – Dragon Gate is not as strict as other companies, but they'll let him lose in the finals, right? They'd probably like that, right? You know,
I mean, he might lose his fucking hair in the middle of the tournament because he's in the cage match.
Yeah, so
we'll I mean, no, wait, that. Not in the middle of the tournament. That's happening. Like, wait, that shows tomorrow, I think, isn't it?
Wasn't it last year he turned heel during the tournament too?
Yes. He turned heel during the tournament. Yeah. He turned heel during the tournament. Okay, so that's
Dragon Gate.
Yeah, so that show's coming up on Sunday. So like after Sunday, he might be like bald. Like, I don't think he is losing that match, but like there is a Oh no, wait. Kakuta, oh sorry, I forgot about that. No, Kakuta actually can't be bald because Kakuta is only in the match as a replacement for Big Boss Shimizu. So if Kakuta loses that match, it's actually not his head gets shaved. It's Shimizu's head that gets shaved.
Oh, okay.
But still, yeah, I do feel like definitely he's going to go through to like the semis. I think that's pretty much a lock. And then it's, I don't know, I could see him go to the finals. Because like that way you do like Kakuta versus Go there, which is like, right, like that's a really fresh match.
Yeah.
And like you don't, exactly. Like, again, similar to what they did with Ashino and T-Hawk a few years back. Yeah.
I mean, on paper...
Hopefully this time the guy that wins the tournament doesn't get injured in the match.
He doesn't break his arm, yeah.
Yeah.
What I think is sort of... I mean, on paper, you'd want to say, oh, our semis going into Sumo Hall, our Oda Ward, our Go, Kento, Yuma, and Kakuta, right? That would be like the kind of best maximized way of like promoting it and drawing.
In terms of drawing... Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But obviously, Yuma wasn't going to go through when it was Cyrus, but like now that June is out, I think, yeah, as you said, that makes it a lot more likely. Because it was probably going to be June and Kakuta beforehand.
Yeah, I convinced myself that June was going to the finals. But then I also didn't think that there was semis at that time. So
I mean, he could have still made that work with the semis anyway, but I mean, then again, you could have just done Go versus June in the semis as well. Yeah, and then you just replace him with Yuma, you do Go versus Yuma in the semis, and then Go versus Kakuta in the finals, and then yeah, you had. But if okay, so do you think though that All Japan would want the Dreamgate champion to get a pin over the Triple Crown champion? Right, because then the other semi would be Kakuta versus Kento.
Mm.
But then again, they have been teasing Kento and Kakuta as a feud as well. Right, ooh, because you could do Kakuta versus Kento for the Triple Crown. And then it doesn't, like, because, okay, then the Dreamgate champion did get, like, the pin over the Triple Crown champion in the semis. But then you basically, like, the Triple Crown champion gets his win back, like, in the actual title match.
Yeah, yeah. Try to think about this. It's hard to say. I don't know.
It's complicated in terms of like politics. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, that's where it stands. So you can make your own predictions and everything. Although, I mean, I'm relatively confident they're going to give us, at least on paper, a really great final.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I think the final is definitely like most times the Champion Carnival final is great.
Let's just see what the next two shows are. We got Hideki versus Yuma Aoyagi. This is the show on the 25th, this Saturday. We got Kengo Mishima versus Odyssey. Daisuke Sakamoto versus Kakuta. That could be good.
That could be good, yeah.
We got Rei Saito versus Talos. That could go either way.
Yeah.
We've got I mean, by either way, I mean match quality. And also
result. Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, result as well, but definitely match quality. Like, if you keep it short, that actually could be good.
It could be fun, yeah. And then Raikou Honda versus Zion.
Yeah,
and then, sure. Main event, Kento Miyahara versus Kuma Rashi. Paul, is Kuma or Rashi pinning Kento here?
Kind of. So he's on three right now.
Yeah, and Arashi's got zero.
And that way Arashi gets his win back from the Triple Crown match. Then you have, then basically, like, Kento hits rock bottom and you can have him go on a run after that.
Yeah, yeah. I also feel like you want to keep, I feel like, look, I mean, I don't know how many more Triple Crown shots he's going to get, but I feel like there's a certain level of credibility you want to keep Kuma at.
Yeah, if he just loses, like, basically, like if he loses two matches, like, essentially within a month, yeah, that actually hurts a lot.
So there's that. And then on Sunday, April 26th, we've got Daisuke Sekimoto versus Zion. I feel like Zion has rarely stepped in the ring with someone like a Sekimoto.
Yeah.
We got Rei Seto versus Kengo Mishimo. Again, could be good. Could be, I don't know. We got Goshi Ozaki versus Kuma Rashi, which is, you know what? I don't know. I'm kind of curious. It could be good, but we'll see if as long as it doesn't go too long. We've got Yuma Anzai versus Odyssey. And Paul, I only bring this up because Anzai works really well with guys bigger than him.
I mean, that would be like that's a really good test of like Anzai's ability to carry like somebody else.
Yeah.
Which he hasn't really had to do all that much in his career so far.
Yeah.
I am curious though. Okay, so if Anzai gets the win, right? Like it has to be a roll up. Like I feel like if he even tries to get Odyssey up for the gimlet.
No. Kento just beat Odyssey with the roll up.
Exactly.
But my question is Odyssey, could Anzai lose here? I could see that too. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, Anzai needs to lose some matches if,
cuz I believe I believe Kento was Odyssey's first pinfall loss in All Japan.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because we hasn't really had many opportunities, really, to lose.
And then the semi-main event, Ren Ayabe versus Yuma Aoyagi. Another test of what wavelength that Yuma is on, I think.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see. And Paul, I might have to reevaluate my prediction on the show before this one, because the main event of this show is Kento Miyahara versus Talos. And honestly, I don't know if you're going to have Kento drop two in a row, and I think if you had to have one of them beat Kento, I'd go with Talos, to be completely honest.
So over Kuma Arashi?
Yeah, so Kento beats Kuma, and then Talos beats Kento.
Yeah, because I feel like Kento needs to have at least one more loss in the tournament.
And they got, and Talos is a guy, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's a champion, yeah. I mean, then he's again, like, so is Kuma.
Yeah.
But it's a KRTV title, which way less prestigious than the
title. I could also see them just going, slotting Kuma back to getting 2 or 4 points.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, that's what he's been for like most of his career.
And look, Talos has more upside than Kuma Rashi. And Talos is very over and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you put Talos over Goshi Ozaki, why can't he beat Kento too? So, okay. So my new prediction is Kento beats Kuma, loses to Talos.
Yeah, no, I think I can agree with that. Like I said, I think he definitely loses one of those matches, and I think, it is more likely that he loses to Talos than him losing to Kuma Arashi.
Yeah. So that's the Champion Carnival, and I got to say, I'm very impressed because it's exceeded my expectations, thankfully, to Yuma Aoyagi, who has redeemed himself. You know, he had to wander
through
the desert for 40 days and be tempted by the devil, but he has returned, the prodigal son.
Again, for now, like it's still
I feel like Go has changed the vibe of the company.
Oh no, he has for sure. Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's playing a role in some of this too, right?
Yeah,
and everything like that. Oh, I have one other thing to say. I noticed at ringside there is obviously Yasutaku Yano, who will be re-debuting at Ota Ward. There is Paul, I can't remember who's the judo guy they just signed. I totally forgot.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. But
there's a third trainee. Did you notice that?
Oh yeah, that was this guy.
And he looks
He looks
like a junior, I think.
Which, I mean, to be fair, they do need more of as well. I mean, they need more of everything, really. But like,
Well, Yeah, more of everything, but they got a heavyweight. And obviously, I think he's going to get protected and pushed too.
Yeah.
Because they're going to do all the classic, like, you know, because his dad is a comedian and everything. I'm so bad. I can't remember his name, but I know who he is and everything like that. But yeah, so that's a good sign. So they obviously got another guy from the December tryouts. So.
Yeah. I mean, again, like I said, they desperately need people.
Yeah. So yeah, that is good. I think this is good for All Japan. I know that there are people watching this tournament now that it's gotten some good attention that haven't watched All Japan in a while. So hopefully they could keep it up. And Paul, Joe Lanza brought this up in his review, but is Go a dark horse for most outstanding and or MVP now if he continues this run?
For this year so far, yes, I would say so. If he can keep this up, this kind of like frenetic pace, then I think he is. It's just, you know, Go's body being what it is. I don't know if he can keep this up for the entire year. That's the problem.
If he wins the Triple Crown, I think he could have put together a very great year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I'm already looking forward to, like, if his body holds up, like, I'm already kind of looking forward to, like, him versus Honda once Honda, like, wins the Royal Road tournament later this year.
Oh, he's gonna win the Royal Road tournament this year. He has to. They put way too much.
He has to. Yeah, I mean, that's like unless he's injured, he's definitely winning that tournament.
Yeah, and then we'll get more discourse to be like, how underrated is Go Shiozaki historically, and et cetera, and that sort of thing, right?
He has to be up there. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of bad luck.
Yeah, that really has been the problem of Go. It's like just insane amounts of bad luck.
Yeah. So that's it for this week. We have a big show in Noah to look forward to, and then the rest of the Champion Carnival. We'll be back sooner rather than later because that Noah show is on the 2nd, and we'll have a bunch of Champion Carnival shows to watch in the meantime. So we'll probably be back in like less than 2 weeks at this rate because we'll come. I think we should just come back right after that Noah Sumo Hall show. Paul, what does that sound? How does that sound?
Yeah, that should work, right? That one is on the 2nd. Yeah, I should have time in the week after that. Yeah, it should be good.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So until then, we'll see you and enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Hello. Do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.